This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Overboard. A beautiful young mom, Lynette Hooker, disappears at sea with her husband. Tonight, Lynette Hooker's only daughter speaks out after a grisly update regarding her mother. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us. He was going, I don't have a wife.
That's all performative. That's all performative. Your wife dies, drowns, and is missing, and you act like that. You go from being sad to like normal and talking normal. That's not right. Humans don't work that way.
Joining us tonight is a very special guest that we have seen from afar, we have prayed for, we have thought about during all these days that her mother, Lynette, has been missing. Carly Aylesworth joining us tonight. Carly, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I've got so many questions for you, but I'll just start at the beginning. When did you learn your mom was missing? How did you find that out?
Brian texted me saying, call me at around 8:30 at night. My grandma called me prior to that, but I was napping, so I didn't pick up. But then he said, call me. I said, oh, two of my family members need me to call them. Something is happening. So I answered, and I put it on speakerphone, and Steve was right next to me. And he heard the whole thing, too. And Brian just said, hey, your mom fell overboard. I threw her a life preserver, but I don't know if she got it. She's been missing since last night around 7:30. And Steve immediately stood up and was like, something is off. Something is sketchy from that phone call. And I was still in shock. I was just sitting there like, what? How do you lose my mom?
Carly, you stated just then that he, Brian Hooker, your mom's husband, it's your stepfather, right?
Yep.
You stated he said he threw her a life preserver.
Yeah, and it's not even a life preserver. It's something that you kneel on or sit on. It's like for gardening, it's something you kneel on, and it doesn't keep a 150-pound person afloat. So it's not technically a life preserver.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why when you said, he said he threw her a life preserver, because to my memory, and I don't have any notes about it in front of me, he said he threw her a seat cushion, but he told you he threw her a life preserver?
Yeah.
And look, I've dived all over the world. Before I had the twins, I gave it up because I thought it was too dangerous. But you're right, Carly. A seat cushion can be that thick. That is not going to hold anybody up in the water, much less in waves, he said, had started.
Yeah, exactly.
But he told you life preserver when y'all were talking.
Yeah, and it was supposedly found like 400 feet from the dinghy when it washed up to shore, when he washed up to shore in Marsh Harbor. So I don't know. It's just all subjective at the moment.
That's really interesting, Carly. Now, I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you, but could you explain why you don't think that's true?
I don't believe that it would wash up right next to you, but my mom suddenly washed the other way. It just doesn't make sense.
Exactly. That's my thinking. I mean, I'm no tide and wave and current expert, but if he washed that way and the dinghy washed that way and the seat cushion washed that way, then why didn't she wash that way? And
yeah,
your mom was an experienced sailor. She knew what to do if she fell overboard.
Yeah. And where she fell in at, Steve and I went and retraced their steps that day, and she could have swam a couple feet to the side up to shore and stood up in the water. It was really shallow. It's like a giant sandbar in between the islands. So I'm just wondering, why was she swimming away from the dinghy, and why didn't she try to get back on it? Why did she grab the key on her way out? It doesn't make any sense.
Now, see, that's another thing we've been talking about, and I'm so glad you brought it up, Carly. So let's just go with your stepfather's story, Brian Hooker's story, that she, quote, bounced off the dinghy. I still don't know how she bounced off, but I'll get to that. You're saying if she fell in the spot where he described, hey, let's see that control room. Let's see that map that he sent. Instead of being out looking for Lynette, he was on the phone gabbing with friends for hours on end, putting his story out there and sending maps. I mean, if my child or husband fell overboard, I would not be on a conference call on speaker with my friends trying to get my story out. I'd be looking. But you're hearing Carly Aylesworth. This is Lynette's daughter, her only biological daughter, and she's speaking there. Look, Carly's saying that where her mom allegedly fell off the dinghy, she only would have to swim a few feet and stand up on a sandbar. That's all she had to do. Is that what you're saying, Carly?
Yep, pretty much. And they found two life jackets in the dinghy when he washed up to shore. So why he didn't put one on and then jump in to go give her the other one doesn't make sense to me either.
See, I did not know that. Carly, that's important. There were two life jackets still on the dinghy, unused?
Yep.
Do you know where they were? Were they in plain view? In a chest, a safety chest? Where were they?
They were just out on the floor.
Oh, my stars. Oh, okay. Wait. There's two life vests lying in the floor, and he did not throw one to her and put one on and jump in?
Yeah. His thought was to throw the seat cushion to her. He's an ex-Marine. I feel like he should be more on his toes when these type of situations.
I'm just trying to take in, you know, in 3 minutes, I've already learned more from you than I have from him in weeks. Okay, let me get back to, you're just giving me so much information and none of it is good for him. Two life vests right there in the dinghy?
My stepsister, his daughter, Rosie, told me that she asked him if they were fighting when this all happened and he didn't respond.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to have to start a flow chart. I'm getting so much information. Hold on. So Brian Hooker tells his bio child, Rosie. Well, he didn't tell her anything. She asked, were you arguing at the time? And he said nothing?
Yeah.
What else did he say to Rosie?
I don't think he said much to her. He talked to us in a group chat with her, just us three, and was like, I wish I could be there for you guys, but I have to be here searching for her. This lady can take care of you guys. I don't know how much she's talked to him because she's still distraught because she was close to my mom too. So she doesn't want to believe he did anything to her because that's her dad. So I get that. But at the same time, with what we know, it's just not adding up.
With us tonight, Carly Aylesworth. This is Lynette Hooker's only biological daughter. I do not know how you have the composure. I admire it. To speak. I wonder if you're in a state of shock. Do you believe there's any chance your mom is still alive?
There's still a string of hope that she's just on an island somewhere, living it up, needing a break from life. So without a body, it's kind of hard to for me to have much closure right now. I still have so many questions as to what happened. A lot of what ifs. Why did that happen? Why did not this happen? It's just hard.
I'm glad you have your boyfriend Steve with you. What was his reaction when your dad, your stepfather, called and told you your mom's missing and Let's see, he said that happened at 7:30 the night before, and when did he call you?
9:30 the next day at night.
9:30 a.m.?
P.m.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, hold on. So we're talking about 26 hours later?
Yep.
Did you ask him why he waited over a day to let you know?
I was in shock when he called me, so I didn't really say much. I was like, okay, just trying to soak it all in. But as soon as I got off the phone, Steve got up and was like, that was sketchy, something's off.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Tell me one more time exactly what he said on that 9:30 p.m. call the day after your mom went overboard. What exactly did he say?
He called me and was like, hey, your mom fell overboard. I tried to throw a life preserver to her, but I don't know if she got it. She drifted the other way, so I paddled to shore. And he said he washed up to shore at like 4:30 in the morning the next morning. And then he's like, but we're going to come up and see you soon. So we're hoping that we're going to see you. And I was like, okay. And then he started talking about it again and quickly hung up on the phone. And I was like, what just happened? And then Steve got up like, that was sketchy. That was like, that doesn't add up. Like, and he was also trying to console me, but he was also like, that, I don't believe the story as soon as you said it. So it was sketchy from the start.
So he says she fell in. He threw her a life preserver. She went one way and he paddled the other way?
Yeah. And it took him 9 hours to get to Mars Harbor.
He said he paddled the other way away from your mother.
Because the wind was pushing him, I guess.
Okay, I just want to make sure. He said he paddled the other way?
He just paddled with the wind, which is the other direction that she supposedly drifted away. So I guess.
And it took him 9 hours.
Yeah, so to him, the current was going one way, but the wind was going the other way. But I talked to a captain there and when I went to the Bahamas, and they said that they swam where he paddled in 2.5 hours. So the fact that it took him 9 hours doesn't add up.
What happened after that phone call with your stepfather? When did you hear from him again?
Immediately after the phone call, I called my dad and I was like, you will never believe the news I just got. He's like, I'm sure I can, because my grandma called him because she couldn't get a hold of me. And I was like, my mom's missing. And he goes, I know. And we talked about it for a minute. And he was like, I wasn't your mom's number one fan, but this is messed up. Like, I care about her because that's your mom. That's immediately what I did after.
When did you hear from him again, Carly?
He left me some voicemails saying that they found the life preserver that he threw to her and that they can search a smaller area now, and left me a couple texts from the group chat with Rosie and I, but I haven't responded. I don't plan to respond right now with the facts that I have and my gut feeling.
So after that, you were included on some group texts. What did they have to say?
He was just saying how he wishes he could be there for us and that we'll get through this. This lady could take care of us if we need to. And just that he needs to be there right now searching.
What do you make of that evening's events? I guess that you're learning about through the media that they went to have dinner at the inn, that they had drinks there, that they left around 7:30. Almost immediately when they got in the dinghy, the waves kicked up to 2 or 3 foot swells, and that shallow area that she, quote, bounced off the dinghy and was never seen again. What part of that does or does not make sense to you?
Well, The Atlantic side, I could see having that big of waves because I was there and I saw the waves are pretty big. But on the leeward side, it's like glass. It's not even no waves. And there's a channel that you go down because the boats need to be deep enough. And then it's only like so wide. It's like 50 feet wide, 20, I don't know, not that wide. And she could have swam to the side and stood up. It's only a couple of feet outside the channel. So I don't see how there could have
Is
been
she a
that
good
big of
swimmer?
waves. Yes. And she used to run all the time, ran a half marathon and a 25K. So she was pretty fit. She could swim. They've done this for 10 years, so she knows all about the water. So
When was the last time you actually spoke to your mom?
Friday around dinner time.
And what did she have to say? What was her frame of mind?
She seemed fine to me. I asked her for advice and she was helping me with that. So you were just, yeah. She more confided in my grandma about like relationship problems and money and all that. So she only tells me like when she thinks she's gonna break up with him and leave him. But yeah.
Carly, tell me about, if you know about them, their relationship and money problems.
So I know that they don't touch my mom's retirement right now because she's not 59 and a half. So they've been taking out of Brian's. So I don't know how much he has. I don't know like what his financials are. I know my mom has life insurance, but it's only 15,000 from AT&T where she retired. So I don't know if they took out another life insurance. I asked my lawyer, but he's looking into it. So
So they're living, all of your mom's retirement is sitting there?
yeah, she has like well over 600K.
Yeah, that she has built up over all the time that she worked at AT&T.
Yeah, and like the fat past last 2 years she was working, or a few years, she was dumping like $1,000 each paycheck every other week into her retirement. So I know it's pretty high.
And you know, another thing about that, Carly, is I think AT&T has a plan where they match not the full amount you put in, but up to a certain percentage, like 5% or 10%. They match what you save. A lot of big corporations have that. So
Yeah.
what she was putting in there was matched to some extent, most likely by AT&T, and that really adds up. Two
Yep.
grand a month from her, and then just let's say 800 to a grand from AT&T a month. The whole time she's banking it in that retirement plan, that's a lot of money saved up. So, well over a half a million dollars. And I assume that he, Brian Hooker, is the recipient of that upon her death.
So my grandma said my mom wanted to change the beneficiary to me when the last time they broke up 2 years ago, but she doesn't know if my mom ever got around to doing that.
There have been reports that he took out a quarter of a million dollar life insurance policy before your mom went missing. Do you know anything about that?
I do not. I asked my lawyer if he could look into it, but I haven't heard from him yet because I asked him on the weekend, so I think he's still looking into it. I still have to check back up with him.
Lynette Hooker's only daughter, Carly Ellsworth, joining us tonight. Carly, when and why did you decide you had to go to the Bahamas yourself?
I just wanted to retrace their steps, get more answers on like what happened, and I felt like that was a very it, answered a lot of questions, but like it just arose more questions of why did that happen? Why didn't this happen? This is like a cascade of coincidences happened.
Let me ask you, Carly, when you went down to the Bahamas, what did you do?
The first day we flew to Nassau, so we stayed the night there, and I got my hair braided by a lady in the streets. And then the next day we flew to Marsh Harbor. I did an interview with Dateline, and then I talked to the Bahamian police for about 3.5 hours. They handwrite everything, so it took a while, but I was happy to be there and answer any questions. They didn't tell me anything. They just wanted to know my side of their relationship and what I knew. And then I went, and then somebody offered us a boat ride to go on to Soulmate, their sailboat. And then I got a couple items that, so I can remember my mom. I have her L necklace on right now that she used to wear all the time. I got some of her headbands. I got a picture frame I painted for her and something that was sewn for her, and a Buddha. So she loves Buddha. Then I went to bed like right after that, because that day exhausted me. I got 14 hours of sleep. And then the next day we took a ferry to Hopetown, where she was last seen, and we went to the Abaco Inn, and the general manager did show us videos of her last moments there, but he didn't send them to me because he wants to respect the investigation. So I said, okay. And so I just have a faint memory of the videos. The videos aren't in 4K or anything, so it was fuzzy. You couldn't really see details. And there is a picture of them at the pool at 6:34 p.m. That was the last like noted thing about them. So we talked to the lady there at the Abaco Inn, and she was really nice. She helped us a lot. She asked somebody if they had cameras on their house that was right next to Abaco Inn. They said no. And then she got us a boat ride. And so we went to the floating bar that they went earlier in that day. And we asked questions, and they said nothing was unusual about them, just getting drinks. And then there's rumors that they went to Firefly, so we didn't go there. There's nothing, nobody remembers them. There's no cameras there. And then we went to, and then we looked where she fell in. The whole thing is like a giant sandbar. She could have swam a couple feet and then stood up. So I don't see how she could have flown away and drowned.
Is it true that your stepdad, Brian Hooker, knew you were coming down and he left anyway, just before you got there?
I'm sure he did, because I told reporters that I was coming down there. So I'm sure he knew, and he bolted right before I got there.
What do you mean by right before you got there?
I don't remember if it was a couple hours before I landed in the Bahamas or it was the day before. It's a little blurry right now. A lot's happened, but I do know right before I got there, he left, and I immediately called my dad, and I was like, he left. Can you believe that? And he's like, no, I cannot. This is wild.
Were you surprised he left?
Yes, because one day he's saying, I'll never stop searching for her and crying on camera, and then leaves the very next day, which to me, that just shows his character on how much his word means and just who he is as a person. And you're going to go see your mom who's been ill. She's been ill for a while with chronic kidney failure. So I'm not saying, like, don't see your mom, but with what's going on right now, why leave now?
I've got a question about that, and then I'm going to circle back to everything that you did and retracing the steps of your mom. I find that very odd, because my mom, who lives with me, she's 94, has been in chronic kidney failure, I know for a fact, since 2016. Sometimes when we take her to the kidney doctor, her kidney function is like 47, which is good, really good if you're 94. Sometimes it's 27. And I make her special food that's supposed to help your kidneys, and it goes right back up. So you can be in chronic kidney failure for a really long time. I know for 10 years. Did he really go to her bedside?
I know he flew her to Atlanta, but where he went after that is, I don't know for certain, but I think it's in California, where his mom is.
Okay, you think the mom is in California. Do you have any indication she's in the hospital? Yeah.
I don't think she's in the hospital, because she was going to get a kidney transplant, but she declined. So I don't think she's going to the hospital.
Okay. Have you spoken to him since he turned tail and left?
No, he hasn't even reached out either.
Okay. You mentioned that he was crying on camera. I looked. I replayed it over and over and over. I heard a lot of sniveling, and when he would act like he was crying, he'd suddenly have a coughing fit, but I never saw a single tear.
Yeah, neither did I.
Okay. I was wondering, is that just me? You mentioned that your mom, Lynette, spoke to your grandmother, her mother, about their relationship problems. You told me about them. You mentioned money problems, too. What were their money problems and what were their relationship problems? And why did they stay together?
I don't know why they stayed together. I do know that my mom bought a plane ticket like 5 days after I was visiting them to go a one-way ticket to Florida to my grandma. She's in the middle there, to go back to her house. I didn't know that she bought the plane ticket until all of this happened, but she never got on the plane. She stayed. I don't think she wanted to go through another divorce. I think she loved him, but she didn't love that side of him that he can get very snarky and smartassy and just like picking on her kind of. And she even mentioned to me when I was there, she didn't like how he gets when he drinks and he gets very emotional.
What do you mean very emotional?
I just think like when you're drinking, your emotions get amplified a little more and you can like spiral. Like she bought like a bath set, like a rug and a curtain with the little holders on it. And he was like making fun of her kind of about it. And why'd you buy that? Blah, blah, blah. And she's like, what do you mean? And that's when she mentioned she didn't like how he gets when he drinks. But he can be really great and he talks to everybody and very charming, or he can be that. So he's just like two sides to him.
What do you make of claims of domestic abuse of him beating her?
I do believe that happened because she told me 2 years ago that he choked her and was threatening to kill her and throw her overboard. And she said he choked her so bad that she felt something like pop in her neck. So, and then that's when she packed a bag and left. And that she only left him for like a couple of months. She went back to him, sadly. I don't know why she went back. I think she's always known that she needs to leave him, but she cares about him a lot, and he can be a great person. Like, he's been there a lot for me and always gave me advice, too, because I was in a group chat with him and my mom. So I got along with him for my mom, really. I always didn't want her to be with him. Every time they broke up, I was, like, advocating for her to stay away because it feels like he, like, tried to, like, take her away and like made her sell the house. And I know that she wanted to do that eventually, but I don't think that she was like ready to do it yet. I think it was just like she was tired of being bored at work because nobody has phones anymore. So it's just, yeah.
Did you see the photo of the bruises all along her lower back?
Yeah, I know her friend had that picture. I didn't see that till after all this happened. Like, she doesn't really tell me much about what goes on in the relationship until after she thinks she's going to leave him. So I just hear from my grandma and from Rachel, her friend.
Why were they having so many money problems, Carly?
I think, like, since he was taking out of his retirement but not hers, I think maybe that might be it. I know when she left him, she was going to go back to work at the post office, maybe. She was thinking about it. She was applying. She says when she's not with him, she feels like she needs to go back to work for a little bit because she retired at 49, so she could have stayed a little longer, but yeah. It's just,
why did he retire? Why isn't he working?
He got fired from AT&T. The bosses didn't really care for him because he was a union steward and just liked to yell at them and make them cry. He was bragged about making them cry a lot. So I don't think the managers there really cared for him. And then they started micromanaging him and eventually got him fired.
Okay. Question to you. Do you believe he left to go see his mother?
I do believe he did, but I don't think she's like passing away anytime soon. So
Was that a way for him to get out of the Bahamas?
I don't think he wanted. A part of me feels like he didn't want to face Steve and I. I'm glad he left, though, because I did not want to run into him. I didn't want to say something or I regret or something.
You stated you got to go on to the Soulmate. What did you observe, and where is the boat now?
It's still on the mooring ball at Konkan. It's a hotel there, and they have mooring balls out in the water, and they originally put their boat there so they could use the bathrooms and the pool, and the bar there is great. And then they moved their boat next to Elbow Key, and then after she disappeared, he moved the sailboat back to Konkan. So that was confusing why he didn't leave the boat right where it was, so his missing wife knew where to look.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
What do you make of the police decision in the Bahamas to let him go?
I wish they would have kept him longer, but they have to follow their rules. There's just not enough evidence right now, especially without finding the body. I guess when he was in custody, he would only answer 4 out of 94 questions. So he didn't really give out any information.
Okay, hold on. He only answered 4 out of 94 questions police put to him?
Yep.
How did you find that out?
A reporter asked people, and she told me. So it's not definite. I don't know for sure. It's just hearsay, but that's what I was told.
I still don't understand, Carly, how your mom, quote, bounced off the dinghy. Did he explain that?
I didn't really talk to him. I just heard the recording that somebody else posted about how he dropped the anchor and let off a flare, which was funny because he only mentioned that after I brought it up. Like, why didn't he do that? And I guess one flare was expended, but it just, nobody saw it. So, and all the captains that we talked to said, if we see a flare, we are there in less than 5 minutes. So, and it was a Saturday night, and everybody's out on their boat, out in the water, on their boat. So it's just confusing that nobody saw it somehow. On the leeward side, it's very calm. There's not much wind. It's all on the Atlantic side. So the fact that there was that big of waves on that side of the island, I don't believe it's true. I did talk to a captain, and he said he was working that night, and he doesn't remember the waves being that bad. He said it was windy, yes, but not to the point where someone can just bounce out.
How do you know one flare was expended?
I saw an interview with Ken with another reporter or a podcaster, and he said that one flare was expended in the dinghy.
Because some reports are that none of the safety equipment had been used at all, including the flares, and he stated he put off 2 flares.
Yeah, there's so many different variations of this story that he keeps saying. So I hope he just messes up one time, and I don't know.
How far away from the shore, Carly, did your mom allegedly fall off the dinghy?
She fell off right at the end of the channel. So it's pretty, like, maybe 50 feet. She only had to swim a couple feet to stand up.
And 50 feet in all, 50 feet from shore.
Just about.
And just a few feet to stand up on the sandbar.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any way under the sun your mother would be alive somewhere hiding from you?
That's what I'm hoping for. I hope she's still alive. I hope she's happy, and I hope she's okay.
But do you think that makes any sense? Would she hide from you, maybe as a way to hide from him?
No, I feel like she would at least reach out to my grandma because they're really close. So I feel like she would have at least contacted my grandma, and I know my grandma would have told, I don't honestly know, maybe they would have kept it a secret, but I know my grandma wouldn't be this distraught also if she knew her daughter was alive. So I don't.
When you say your grandma would not be this distraught if she believed Lynette was still alive, what do you mean?
Like, if my mom contacted her, I feel like my grandma would let me know, because this is, like, a big deal. I don't think she would want me to be hurting this bad if she knew that she was alive. But none of us have heard from her. I sometimes even call her just to see if she would pick up, but nothing. There's nothing.
You still call her number?
Sometimes.
I do that, too. Sometimes I call my dad's cell number. He's not going to pick up. I know that, but I do it anyway. I don't know why we do that, Carly.
Just a little bit of hope.
I forgot to ask you something. What can you tell me about your mom's Apple Watch being found on the soulmate?
She didn't really wear her watch when I went out to visit in February, but what I heard is that Brian handed the Coast Guard and the Bahamian police the watch from the boat.
How about her cell phone?
That was in the dry bag with the passports. And they haven't found the dry bag.
And that was retrieved? They have not found the dry bag. You know what? I heard that earlier, but it didn't make sense to me that he could leave the country without a passport.
I think he got an expedited one.
Well, that answers that. So both passports and her cell phone were in the dry bag. And that's lost.
Yeah. A part of me feels like it was around her wrist or something and she disappeared with it.
Did that have the kill switch in it too?
Yeah, he said that the spare one was in her dry bag, but never mentions the one that they were using, or she grabbed it on her way. See, that's where I'm confused. Did they have two with them, or so what happened to the original one? If the spare one was in her dry bag, that's I'm confused about that part.
You're right. And why would she have her passport with her and go overboard with it? Are you saying she had it attached to her wrist?
That's what I'm thinking, because they haven't found it. It would have been floating. That's the use of what dry bags are for. But I don't know. They haven't found it.
Guys, Carly has established a GoFundMe to fund her own search for her mother and lawyer's fees. Carly, where can we find your GoFundMe?
I posted it on all my social media platforms. I made sure it was public on Facebook, so if you search me on Facebook, you'll see it. In my Instagram, I have it. In my TikTok, it's sleepy_ponyo, if you want to look that up. I'm going to have to do it for either searching for my mom or lawyer fees in the future, because this is ridiculous.
Thank you so much, Carly, for being with us tonight. Guys, you can find her GoFundMe. If you want to help, go to her GoFundMe. You can look it up on Google. There it is, Lynette Hooker missing in the Bahamas, sleepy_ponyo. Everyone, if you know or think you know anything about the disappearance of this beautiful mom, Lynette Hooker, please dial 242-300-8477. Repeat, 242-300-8477. We remember an American hero, Deputy Sheriff Douglas Hanna, Washtenaw County Sheriff's, Oklahoma, killed in the line of duty, leaving behind two sons without a dad, Kellen and Kyler. American hero, Deputy Sheriff Douglas Hanna.
Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.